Money, Riches, and Wealth is sponsored by the Financial Consulate.
Say you don't need no diamond rings, and I'll be satisfied. Tell me that you want the kind of things the money just can't buy. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love.
This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
This is Drew Tignanelli here with Money, Riches, and Wealth. Co-host tonight is Christopher John O'Shea.
You never know, do you, sir?
Yeah, you never know. Well, since Mikey was off in an airplane to Colorado.
You're blessed. It's good to be with you, Drew. You're blessed by seeing me once a month.
That's true. And we know that Mikey's not going out there for a Colorado high. That's just not his nature, you know. So he's going to see his sister and have a good time. His family, his little daughters love his sister. So they're so excited to go see him. So we're glad that he's out there. He's going to get a good 8 days or so with them. So that's great.
Yeah, it's a great boy. It's such a neat area. Colorado is so different than here. So anyway, we've got an open show, right, sir?
We have an open show tonight. So you're the guest tonight. The listeners, you get to call in and say, this is the topic I want to talk about. If you talk about this and help me answer some questions about my own personal finances, then it'll be very beneficial to me. So if you want to call in and ask your question, whatever, if it deals with your finances, we're here to answer it for you, whether it's estate planning or income taxes, or 401ks, IRAs, Roth conversion, Social Security, Medicare, mortgage financing, life insurance, auto insurance, home insurance. If you're spending money on it, you want to talk about it, we're here to talk to you about it. If you want to call in, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680, if you want to call in and be the guest on the show tonight. And always remember, there's somebody out there that wants to hear the answer to your question, but they're not going to call in. So you're going to be the bold one and call in and ask the question and know that you're helping at least, who knows, 5, 10, 15, 20, maybe a lot, depending on what the question is. Because we get that a lot. You know, people say, you know, hey, I heard on your show, somebody said, you know, I can't tell you how many times you answered a question for somebody, and that was really helpful to me. You know? So,
yeah, so you were talking, one of the things you mentioned was taxes. I was reminded again today of the quirk in the tax code that certain adjustments for cost of living adjustments, certain numbers are adjusted. Well, for one, the modified adjusted gross income is not adjusted for the NIT, right?
Net investment income tax.
Net investment income tax, but for when the brackets are adjusted for inflation, they're based on inflation from the previous year.
Right.
Right. So, inflation adjustment that who knows what it may be. Let's say 7% for the year. It might be for 2023, but you're not going to get those. You know, the benefit of higher deductions and having your bracket be expanded a little bit by the same place that your your income. If your income was tied to inflation and you got a bigger raise, well, you're going to pay more taxes.
Yeah, well, that's the way the government works that out, Chris. You know, so it's perfect.
I remember the first time I did a calculation about the 85% max taxability of your Social Security and who did the rounding error go to, right? It always goes to the house.
It goes to the house. That's what it's designed for. We're here on an open show to answer your questions.
Okay, we've got, I'm sorry.
922-6680.
I hate to talk over you. We do have open phone lines, but we do have Steve in Baltimore. Hi, Steve. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thanks for having me on. I want a quick question. LLP Financial, what do you think of them?
LLP Financial is just a brokerage firm, and our opinion is that if a firm is not a fee-only firm, in other words, an independent registered investment advisor, no affiliation to any brokerage firm, insurance company, et cetera, I wouldn't work with them. That's our opinion. You know, I'm sure LPL has a different opinion. I'm sure Raymond James has a different opinion. I'm sure Morgan Stanley, Merrill Lynch, Wells Fargo, et cetera, et cetera. But our opinion is a professional financial advisor is fee only, not licensed with a brokerage firm, not licensed with an insurance company. They're credentialed, they're experienced, and they can discuss broad topics of personal finances with you.
Hey, yeah, so we're moving money into an IRA through M&T Bank with LLP Financial. So
well, you see, you're going to get me riled up here, Steve.
I'll interject whenever necessary. Go ahead.
One of the worst places, in my opinion, is the bank financial planning services, PNC, M&T, especially when it's the bank manager. I mean, they're just, in my opinion, some of the worst out there. Personally, I would tell you go to Schwab, go to Vanguard, go to Fidelity. They may not be fee only, et cetera, but if you don't have a lot of money, you just have maybe a couple hundred thousand or less, then you should be going to Vanguard. You should be going to Fidelity, Schwab. These people work on a salary, not commission.
Right. Said another way, that the people who are referring all to those folks to those places, typically, not that there aren't some good folks there, but typically they're not as experienced, and there's guardrails up there of what they can do and where they're directed for things. You've got the most options, most flexibility, and the opportunity for the most experienced folks when you go the path that Drew's talking about.
Yeah. All right, Steve.
All right, I guess.
If I were you, I would get a second opinion with Schwab or Fidelity or somebody before I would listen to a bank manager.
It, like, in the works now, and I don't know what to do. I can't change it now until after I guess it's already to them, and then I can switch over later, right?
Yeah, well, the problem's going to be is I'll bet you they took commissions off it, and you're going to have a bunch of deferred sales charges, and you're not going to be able to get out now.
Well, it depends on just transferring over versus actually
signing
up for something.
Yeah, but he probably transferred over and is making investments already. Well, we'll see. But, if nothing's been invested, yes, you can transfer it out immediately. All right?
Okay. Thanks, Steve. Jim, we're going to have to ask you to hold because the hour has quickly faded. We're already past our quarter hour. So we will be right back with Money, Riches, and Wealth.
This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, Wednesday nights at 6 p.m., doing what a personal financial advisor should do. Is your personal financial advisor your tax expert? Is your financial advisor able to guide your estate plan? Is your financial advisor able to help with college planning, retirement planning, mortgages, Medicare, Social Security, company benefits, or as a comprehensive advisor to business owners? Is your financial advisor independent from brokerage firms or insurance companies? Is your financial advisor unable to take commissions or referral fees in direct conflict of their professional relationship with you? Is your advisor a fiduciary working in your best interest? Despite the commissions and fees you pay, you're unable to answer one question: yes. Do our financial physical and experience the difference. We are so confident that the financial physical is unconditionally guaranteed. To learn more, call 410-823-SAVE, 410-823-SAVE, or financialphysical.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
We're back, Money, Riches, and Wealth. We're on an open show tonight. We have a couple callers online, so we're going to go to them immediately. But just want to say, well, it's not immediately if I don't go to them immediately. So I'm going to go to them in a second after I say we have an open show, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680, if you want to get on the line. But right now we got a couple callers. Let's go right to them, Chris.
Yeah, let's get Jim. He's been waiting for some time. Jim, thanks for waiting. How are you?
Hey, good evening. Great show, as normal. I hope you can get me sort of on the right direction here. My brother passed away about 3 weeks ago. He lived in San Francisco area.
Okay.
What kind of we don't think he had an estate plan. Should contact the orphans court right away?
No. It might be. Was he single? I'm assuming, right?
Pardon me?
He's single, I'm assuming, right?
Yes. Yes, sir.
And did he have children?
No.
Okay. So then what you're going to have to do is you will notify the probate court out there that your brother's passed away, and that you, if he doesn't have a will and you're confident there is no will out there, you're going to have to ask California to appoint you as the executor. You're coming forth and willing to serve as executor. They don't have to accept you as executor. They may appoint an attorney as executor, but they'll likely appoint you if there's nothing, no one comes up against you. Or you can have an attorney out in California be appointed as the executor on your behalf with you as the interested party. And then that attorney will, or yourself, will work with the California. Now, I will warn you, California is one of the worst states to die in without an estate plan. Okay? Just be aware of that. Their estate laws are burdensome and long, and you know, it's going to take a long time to get that resolved. So what I would probably do is contact a lawyer out in San Francisco and say, can you help me get this under control? My brother died 3 weeks ago, and I'd like to be executor if I can, or if maybe you don't want to be. Maybe you just want them to be. Did your brother have any assets?
I think we've lost him, Drew.
We did?
Yeah, I don't know if he intentionally just wanted to hear us. And so, anyway,
I'm having a good time, Chris.
I'm listening, and so are the other 15,000 people, but you know.
But, now, wait a minute. I do need to say that if his brother doesn't have any assets, he may not want to even open an estate. In other words, if there's nothing out there to get, he doesn't have a house, he doesn't have any assets really accumulated, he has more debt than he has bank accounts, et cetera, et cetera. He may not want to open an estate. So it's a complicated little situation. He needs to talk more specifics with somebody that knows what they're talking about. Anyway,
sure. Makes
what's
sense.
Up next?
Yep. We have Paul from Ellicott City who wants to ask a question. Hi, Paul. How are you?
Hi. Good to be on with you guys.
Yeah, sure. What can we do for you?
So I'd like to ask about something I've been reading about called backdoor Roth conversion.
Sure. We've been doing them for 12 years.
Okay. And so I think I have two questions about that, if I'm understanding it correctly. One is the main idea behind it that you're bypassing the seventh? I'm over 60. So my maximum amount of conversion or contribution to a Roth is $7,000.
Well, no. It's what it's dealing with is what's your income, Paul. What is your income? Are you married or single?
I'm married.
Or do you two make more than $200,000 a year?
No.
Well, then if you don't need to worry about a backdoor Roth. Backdoor Roth is only for a married couple who make more than $200,000 a year, and they're not eligible to do a Roth because their modified adjusted gross income exceeds $200,000. If you're single, it's about $130,000, okay? So if your income exceeds those levels, you can't do a Roth. And so if you want to, you got to do the backdoor Roth.
I see. So I'm not over those levels anyway. So
if you're not, you don't even need to worry about how a backdoor Roth works. You can go through the front door, my friend.
Okay, so it's just the fact that the money has to come. In other words, I'm not restricted to the contribution levels as long as I'm rolling from one IRA to another.
Now, you're talking conversion when you talk like that. The backdoor Roth is strictly to do with contributions. $7,000 contribution per year. Conversions are unlimited, my friend. If I have $1 million IRA, I can do $1 million conversion under current laws.
And you get to pay the taxes with that, of course.
Yeah, you get to pay the taxes with it, but I can do $1 million conversion. So conversions are unlimited. Contributions to a Roth are limited to $7,000 a year if you're over 50, and there's an income limitation. Only people making under 130 single or 200 married are able to do a Roth through the front door. If you make more than that, you got to open these back doors.
Okay. Well, and with the conversion, too. I mean, I can't just put... I mean, it is a way to get past the $7,000 limitation. If I have money in, let's say, a mutual fund, I have to move that money to an IRA first to be able to do a conversion, correct?
Yeah, but you're only allowed to do a traditional IRA contribution of $7,000 a year also.
That's
so
true.
Okay. You can't just pick up a $50,000 mutual fund and put it into a traditional IRA. But let's say you work for a company and you have a $100,000 401k plan and you retire and you take your $100,000 401k and you roll it to an IRA. And now you take that $100,000 IRA and convert it to a Roth. Okay, that works. But like Chris said earlier, you got to pay taxes on $100,000. It could cost you $25,000, $30,000 in taxes.
Right, right.
So,
but if I have the mutual fund, I can move both $7,000 to the Roth and I can move $7,000.
No. $7,000 per year
total
to any combination of traditional IRA or Roth IRA. So I can do 7 all traditional, 7 all Roth. I can do 2,500 traditional and 4,500 Roth. I can do 3 and 3. I can't exceed 7 between the two.
Got it. Okay, you've helped me. Thank you.
Great. You just got all the IRA rules in, like, what, 3 minutes?
That's right.
That's pretty amazing.
Good. I got to admit.
Way to go. Thanks for calling, Paul.
Good call, Paul.
Take care.
Great question.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Because there's a lot of people they hear all these things, and they don't really know what the heck they all mean. So we're on an open show, Chris. We're going to be taking our hard break at 6:29.
It is.
Want to know, our listeners can get online, 410-922-6680. 410-922-6680. Get online while we're on this pause.
Yeah.
And we'll look forward to talking with you.
Yeah, and then we can, on the way back, we can talk about Roth money into 401ks. And with that, we will be back with Money, Riches, and Wealth.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, we're back. We're on an open show. We got callers on line, so we're going to go right to them. And I'm not saying immediately, Chris. I said right to them.
That's right.
We're on an open show. If you want to call in also, 410-922-6680. 410-922-6680.
Mute the Zoom. Yes, we've got Mike in Catonsville. Mike, hi. Yeah, welcome to the show.
Yeah, I did pretty good in the previous administration with small cap and medium cap funds in my 401k. I'm up to $125,000 in there, but the last election, I moved it all into an equity fund to be safe.
Well,
problem is, it's only paying 0.7% interest. Now, my question is, I'm going to still be safe throughout the period here. I'm thinking you're seeing 3.25% on 3-year CDs.
Yeah.
I'm thinking I want to put it in, and I want to go 5 years. I'm 62. I'll retire in 3 years. Do you think I should wait it out another 6 months to a year and see if I can get 4, maybe 5% on a 3-year CD the way things are going? Or would you grab it now? That's my question. It's dead money now sitting there, and I want to move it to a regular IRA out of the 401k, maybe 100 of it.
I don't have a crystal ball. Do you, Chris?
No, mine's been fuzzy for a long time.
Right. Well,
we're going to get another rate hike. I know that's coming real soon. So
it's true. You know, the money markets now, Mike, are paying 1.6 at the least. Some of them are up to 2, 2.25. So
you're getting 3.5 on some of these banks on a 3-year CD.
Right. But you've got to lock in to. So my point that I'm making is that a money market fund, if rates keep going higher, a money market fund is going to go higher with it. And you will always have the flexibility of moving the money market fund to anything else if you change your mind along the way. If you buy that 3-year CD and you change your mind, you're going to have to pay a little stiff penalty to get out of it.
Okay, so the money market, take what they're giving you, and then you have more flexibility as we move down the road.
Yeah, but be careful about what kind of money market you choose. Me personally, I prefer U.S. Treasury and government money market funds. I don't like corporate money market funds, and I've got reasons for that that I can't go into all right now.
Okay, that sounds good.
All right, buddy.
All right, thank you.
All right, Mike, thanks for calling.
Bye. He's, you know, he's obviously got the timing going down pretty well, Chris.
So, well, yeah, we could have gone into a soliloquy of who's done how the market has performed under different administrations. And actually, and people, I think most people would be surprised. And there's a whole reason, there's a whole backstory to that, that markets have typically done better in Democratic administrations over time.
Not only typically, Chris, they've outperformed Republicans by a large margin, believe it or not. So don't let your politics get involved with your economic decision making.
Yeah,
that's the point.
Right. So we've got Scott, and we've got several open phone lines. So go ahead, call in 410-922-6680. Let's go to Scott in Middle River. Hi, Scott. Welcome to the show. Hello, Scott.
Scott's gone.
Scott, he may have gone to get a cold beverage.
Yeah, I don't blame him.
I don't know. We'll put him on hold. See if he comes back. We have the open phone lines are still there. 410-922-6680. And the reason, let's go back to that, okay, under different administrations, Democratic over Republican, some of that is for expectations, right? So Republicans have typically been more business friendly, have been touting less regulations and that sort of thing. And so markets can react ahead of time. That's what they're doing. They're based to see who's coming in, what's going on. And the administrations that they, you know, the Democratic fear about anti-business is typically not as bad as was thought to be.
Right, but the whole concept of Democrats outperforming Republicans since like Kennedy could flip on its head in the future.
Sure.
One of the other big things is back in the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s, Democrats tended to be the party of more government spending, and the Republicans tended to be the party of less government spending. And it tended to be that the Democrats spending more money would push the market higher. Whereas when the Republicans were coming in trying to curb the deficits in the country, that it would hurt the markets during those period of times. But that's kind of, you know, both parties spend like drunken sailors nowadays.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, since 2000, you've had some periods of time in there where some Paul Ryan and things have done some, you know, they negotiated some limitations, but George W. was a spender for sure.
Yeah.
And
well, you know, it's only since Kennedy, Nixon was a Republican president with no positive rate of return in his year. George H.W. was a president with no positive rate of return, and George W. Bush was a president with no positive rate of return during their term. There were moves in the market, but by the time their term was over, there was
I was gonna say the first 7 years of W was pretty good.
Yeah, but it ultimately ended up negative, you know, in the end.
Yeah, so, and that's one of the reasons that McCain lost. McCain was completely lost when the 08 crisis was going on.
Right. But on the other hand, Kennedy was very positive. Ford was very positive. Even Jimmy Carter was positive market during the period of time he was in office. Wasn't a big positive, but it was positive. Clinton had one of the biggest positives, and so did Obama. So, you know, the point is, it has nothing to do with presidents. It has everything to do with Federal Reserve chairmen. Don't let your politics influence your economic decision and investment decision making. And if you do, you're going to make fatal flaws in your investment decision process. I see it more today than ever. Chris.
Right. Yeah, exactly. You're right. And because there's bias in there because you think this is going to happen. We've had people say that, hey, we told you, you know, the administration was going to do this and what have you. Well, yeah. Did the administration contribute to inflation? Sure, they did. But, you know, the Federal Reserve was there. COVID was there. There's a lot of things that contributed this time to inflation, which
inflation had very little, in my opinion, to do with Biden. He could have done things that would have not made it maybe be 9%, but maybe 8.25%. But it all has to do going back to the 2007-8-9 crisis in the real estate market. It has to do with the pandemic. It has to do with the supply chain. And it has to do with Russia invading the Ukraine. You put all those things together, shake them in a bag, Chris, and you've got a shake and bake recipe for inflation.
Well, it wasn't Biden alone, but D.C.'s money came from both sides.
Both sides. Oh, yeah. Right. They printed money, and the Federal Reserve let them.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, everyone's having a party. So, without a doubt. But it's the Federal Reserve and other thing, exogenous events, right? The pandemic, real estate bubbles, you know, deflating. And so there's a lot of things that the administration can exacerbate or have some influence, but it's not the driver. It really is not. So
we're on an open show, Christopher. So we have one more quarter hour left to go. If you want to get online, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680.
Yeah, there you go.
410-922-6680 if you want to get online. And we've got a quarter of the show left. And, you know, I do want to address that, the guy that called in about the LPL. Again, our position is that a professional financial advisor is independent of brokerage firms and insurance companies and banks, that a professional advisor is fee-only, credentialed, experienced, and always works as a fiduciary. You should always start with that question. When you want to hire an advisor, always start with that question. Are you a fiduciary 100% of the time that you and I work together? And if they can sign a document that says, absolutely, I'm a fiduciary at all times when I work with you, you probably have a professional advisor. Anyway, Chris, we got to take a pause.
And with that, we will be back with Money, Riches, and Wealth.
This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, Wednesday nights at 6 p.m., doing what a personal financial advisor should do. Is your personal financial advisor your tax expert? Is your financial advisor able to guide your estate plan? Is your financial advisor able to help with college planning, retirement planning, mortgages, Medicare, Social Security, company benefits, or as a comprehensive advisor to business owners? Is your financial advisor independent from brokerage firms or insurance companies? Is your financial advisor unable to take commissions or referral fees in direct conflict of their professional relationship with you? Is your advisor a fiduciary working in your best interest? Despite the commissions and fees you pay, you're unable to answer one question: yes. Do our financial physical and experience the difference. We are so confident that the financial physical is unconditionally guaranteed. To learn more, call 410-823-SAVE, 410-823-SAVE, or financialphysical.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
We're back. Money, Riches, and Wealth. I'm here with Christopher John O'Shea. We're on the last quarter hour of the show. Chris, how many callers you have online? One.
We've got Joe
15,
and White Marsh. That's it.
20. Oh, Joe and White Marsh. We're going to go to him a second. We might as well just say probably we can get one or two more in if you wanted to call.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
410-922-6680. Go ahead, Chris. Bring Joe on.
Hi, Joe. Welcome to the show.
Hello. I got a retirement account, and I got to take a RMD out about $10,000. I was wondering if I could transfer that over to a USI bond, tax deferred.
Yeah. Well, first off, let me ask you a couple questions.
Would that be in tax place?
No, you will be taxed
once.
Once, but not twice.
When I pull the RMD out.
Yeah. Are you still working or are you retired?
No, I'm retired.
You're fully retired?
Yeah, fully retired.
Cool. Well, good for you. So you're 72 this year, right?
No, I'm a little older than that.
Oh, well, so then this isn't your first RMD. This is just another RMD that you've had to take, right?
Right, except for Trump. Trump let us go.
Oh, that was that one year when the market was down, but he's not the first president to do that. So let me ask you a quick question. Do you give money to charity?
Yeah, I have intentions of, you know, if this don't work out, I'm going to get to the blind school, yeah.
Okay, so remember that your RMD, you can give to charity and not have to pay taxes on it, and it's an absolute must-do if you're giving to charity. Don't give to charity because you don't want to pay taxes on your RMD, but give if you intend to give to charity, use your required minimum distributions to give to charity. Now, I have to ask you, though, is your RMD coming from a employer pension plan, or is it coming from an IRA?
Well, it's an IRA now. I transferred from the pension plan over to Fidelity.
Okay, so it's in a traditional IRA, right?
Yeah.
Because you can only do a qualified charitable distribution from a traditional IRA. Keep that in mind. Yeah. So don't leave your money in employer pension plans if you want to do qualified charitable distributions, because it's not allowed. So now here's the rest of the answer to your question, is that whatever you take out as an RMD, you have to pay taxes on it, but whatever's left over, you can go to Treasury Direct and buy an I-bond if you would like to. It's totally your choice, my friend, but it doesn't do anything to reduce the taxation on the I-bond.
You mean on the RMD?
On the RMD. The I-bond doesn't do anything to reduce the taxation on the required minimum distribution.
Yeah, but what they would tax, I could give that to charity, right?
Yeah, so let's you said how much did you have to take out?
10,000?
About 10,000 or better.
Right. So if you said I don't need this $10,000 and I'd really love to bless a charity with this money, you could give the full 10,000 to that charity, fulfill your required minimum distribution, and pay not a nickel on that $10,000 distribution.
Yeah, to my understanding, you have to fill out a form with Fidelity so they transfer it right into a charity. Is that correct?
Well, what they do, my friend, is they'll make the check out to the charity of your choice. You want them to send that check to you. You then give it to the charity, whether you send it to them directly or you take it personally to them, because you still want to get a receipt from that charity. It's very, very, very important that you get a receipt for your qualified charitable distributions from your IRA. Even though you can prove that Fidelity wrote the check out to the charity of your choice, you need a receipt to say you gave that money to them, and you got nothing in return for it.
But isn't there a IRS form that you fill out for that, too?
No, sir. No, sir. Not for cash. It is true if you gave them non-cash. There's a form you have to fill out. But cash, it's just a qualified charitable distribution from an IRA. And this gets a little complicated, too. So let's say you had $10,000 and you gave it directly to the charity, okay? And at the end of the year, Fidelity is going to send you a statement called a 1099-R. And they're going to say, he took $10,000 out of his IRA. And that's all it's going to say. And if you just gave that to somebody to do your taxes, they would say, hey, you owe $10,000, you owe income taxes on this $10,000 required minimum distribution. It's up to you to tell the accountant or whoever's doing your taxes to say, oh, keep in mind, I got a check made payable to the School for the Blind, and I gave it to them, and they gave me this receipt. And so what they'll do is they'll report the $10,000 as distributed, but then when they say what's taxable from that $10,000, they'll say zero. So and it gets a little complicated, but it's really not that bad once you learn the swing of it.
Right. And, of course, you could if you have $10,000 RMD and you just want to give $2,000,
then
the $2,000 is not taxable. then the remaining $8,000 would be taxable, and then you could do whatever you want with that $8,000. So
that is true. Yeah, you don't have to give the whole thing, like Chris said.
Charity is non-taxable, and the remainder is taxable. I see.
That's correct. And you can do any percentage you want. You can do $500 and keep $9,500. You could do $8,000 and only keep $2,000. Totally up to you, my friend.
All righty, thanks, guys.
All right, great. Thanks for calling.
But you know, Chris, that the qualified distribution is so important for people who are getting required minimum distributions, and they're charitably minded, and they don't need the money, and they want to give it to charity. Do it out of the IRA. It just drives me crazy how many people are
missing this opportunity. No matter what, we've thought it through multiple scenarios, and it works. It is the way you should do it. And I don't have any inside information, but something tells me this bill that was just signed that's giving more money to the IRS to get more agents, they're going to do more auditing, they will target this area. Like you said, how important is it to get the receipts?
Very important. And this is a great thing we can spend the last two or three. There's nobody else online, right?
There's not. Actually, Rick's coming on.
All right. Well, let's talk to Rick
from Columbus. Let's get Rick. Hey, Rick, you're getting in under the wire. How are you?
Good. How's everything?
Doing great. What can we do for you?
A question on the employee retention credit.
Okay.
Now, that's going to create a taxable event. Does it create a taxable event for this year or for the previous year?
When you say that, what do you mean by that? It creates a taxable event.
Okay, so if the IRS sends the credit, they send a check, then that you have to realize that income, correct?
No.
That's not taxable?
No, because what you're getting is a relief from your employee payroll taxes, and it's a tax-free credit that they're giving you.
Okay.
Yeah, so, you know, think of it this way, okay? So what they're saying is, we want you to retain your employees and not lay them off. And so to do that, we're going to give you a credit if you can prove that you meet the standards of the COVID guidelines, and we're going to give you back the taxes you paid on payroll for all of your employees. And that credit is not taxable. That's 100% tax-free credit.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, so it makes it even more valuable, my friend.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Well, I appreciate that.
All right. Great.
Well,
great.
You go ahead and buy yourself a nice bottle of wine on that.
All right. Thanks, Rick.
Thanks, Rick.
Take care.
Yeah, great question.
I was trying to figure out what he was talking about, but then I put it two and two together.
You got there.
Anyway, Chris,
it's
we're 59 out of time.
Minutes past the hour, Drew.
Hey, Chris, next time, remind me. I got to talk about charitable receipts and why it's so important to understand what the laws are.
Are they important, Drew?
Very important.
Very important. We'll do.
All right. We're finished, Chris. This is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless. What I'd like to do to you, jolly people you love with love, show them the way you feel. Things are gonna